We're all just having a great time going around St. Louis because we had a good plan to avoid all that rush hour. And it wasn't too far into that, I started asking myself, what was I thinking? Save you just a little bit. If you go to St. Louis and you have to go through St. Louis, there's a reason why people go through St. Louis. It's because you can't go around St. Louis. Not unless you want to go 15 miles per hour the whole way around in this big old truck and the car behind it and roads that are only as wide as these two sections here, it seems, and having 30 to 40 mile per hour winds and snow all over the place, and then it turned dark, and then the curves were like this and this and up and down and etc. Go through St. Louis. It's good for you. After hours of this special shortcut I created, we finally decided we had to go back into St. Louis so we could stay the night, so we could get up in the morning and get home. What was I thinking? You know, it wasn't so much what I was thinking prior to the trip, but prior to the detour. It was, what was I thinking during that time of anxiety? What was I thinking? What was going through my mind as I deliberated this whole situation? And what was I going to do with the situation that I had? What did I have that I could actually really control at that time in my life? I couldn't turn the truck around. There's no place to turn around. And I had to keep on going the route I was going. The only thing I could control at that time, couldn't control the cat, couldn't control the dog, couldn't control the bird, couldn't control my mom, couldn't control the other cars. I couldn't even control the truck I was in. But I could control what was going on in my thinking. And sometimes I did well, and sometimes I didn't do too well in those couple hours in which we were taking this little detour that for me was a real major inconvenience. But I could see after the fact how God used that to work in my life and help me develop certain things in my little detour around St. Louis and asking, what was I thinking? Well, today we're going to talk about a second session in our series on anxiety. Last week we talked about how that we should pray, and if you didn't hear that, I encourage you to get a tape or to download it from the internet because it gives a good foundation of what we're talking about today. Today we'll introduce the first elements of now. Not only should we pray correctly, we should think correctly in times of anxiety. And again, last week we had explained that the whole idea of anxiety comes from this word which kind of has the background of choke. And if you've ever had the anxiety where it just felt like a big constrictor was around you and just wanting to squeeze all the life out of you and keep you from being active and accomplishing things, that's the origin of the concept of anxiety. Well, today we're going to approach this through what I call the CDs for the anxious mind. CDs being that conditioning data, okay? Not the compact disc, but the conditioning data. Before we look into that, though, I'd like us to have some prayer, and then we'll get into talking about how conditioning data, or CDs for our mind, can help us deal with elements of anxiety, whether you're on the outskirts of St. Louis, or dealing with family or work issues, whatever it might be. Father, I pray that you will help us to be able to take your word and use it in such a way that's a source of excitement to those who are here today. Father, there might be some here that have just been beat up this week, maybe this month, maybe a good portion of their life. Father, I pray that you will help them at this time to be able to see that you have a plan for their life, a beautiful plan, and that you have a way in which you have provided for each one of us an opportunity to have control over a part of our lives when everything else seems to be out of control. You have provided for us the opportunity to control our thinking and how we respond to you. And Father, I ask that you allow me to be your vessel, that I might be able to be an instrument to be helpful to the folks that are here today. Lord, there's some here that are just great tools for you, that this is just going to be another tool in their tool belt to help others. And I pray, Father, that whatever is the need this morning, that you will allow your word to go out clearly, that you will just remove all distractions and allow us to be able to communicate clearly. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, you know, it's interesting that when we think about the concept of what goes on our minds, that in reality, we sometimes get on a track of where we're thinking about things, where we just continue to think about how something is going. I call this, when I'm working with individuals, the CD that they decide to put in their computer up here. We're in an age where CDs are very common. They're almost going out, with DVDs coming in, the thumb drives and all that type of stuff. And some of you might like to think of it this way, where you have so many megabytes on your thinking drive, and some might be more like this right here, where you get one of the little it's going to be an anxious day for me, I can tell. A little floppy disk or something like that. And some of you probably go with just the old paper style when you think of the thoughts in your mind and how that they all work together. But whatever the case might be, there's something that we allow to continually play in our heads when situations come up. And sometimes it might be continually playing that CD that has all the lists of things that can go wrong. Or it might be that CD that comes up that talks about all the things that have gone wrong in the past, or all the hurts, or it might be a CD of memories of things that you shouldn't have been looking at, but they come back up into your mind and they distract you from accomplishing those things. These are the CDs that, in a sense, get into our mind and tend to control our thoughts. These are the things that keep us up at night, when we should be sleeping, and they continue to play over and over and over again, and we've got to somehow find the eject button to get rid of this thing and put something else in. It's interesting, as we talked about the importance of several weeks ago, when we were talking about how we change our lives, it's that putting off, the putting on, and the renewing of the mind. And this is where we see that part of the renewing of the mind is learning how to take out the CDs, if you would, that continue to allow us to think in a process that keeps us from depending upon God and doing the right thing, and replacing them with the others. Let's look at an example of some of the CDs that we allow to get into our mind, whether it be worry or lust or pride or revenge. These are the types of things that might play regularly and we might have access to. We think we put it away, but something else comes up, another circumstance hits, and boom, it's being shoved right back into the drive, and again, we're playing the same script over and over again. And you're thinking, boy, I've been down this territory before. Why do I have to think about it? A new opportunity comes up, and all we can think of is that one CD that talks about failure. Remember how you failed that one time? Remember that trip through St. Louis, Scott, or around St. Louis? That was a real winner, wasn't it? Trust your decisions. And that CD plays and plays, and so that what happens then is when that CD's in there, there's not that encouragement to continue to challenge and stretch and come up with new ideas. Or maybe a relationship has gone bad, and as a result, when one had opened themselves up to that person, they let them down and they caused them great hurt. And so now every time an opportunity to build a new friendship or a relationship comes, that CD from hurt relationships, poof, pops right in there. And instead of having the freedom to be able to relate with another individual, the CD plays of, Remember what happened last time? You took your guard down, you took the walls down, someone came in, they invaded, and they took your heart, and they hurt your heart, and then they left you, and abandoned, and all that type of stuff. Those are the types of CDs that we tend to pick out when anxiety opportunities develop. Well, I want us to look at this from a biblical perspective of what is going on in this conditioning data. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, this is the verse we looked at last week, We'll be in Philippians chapter 4, if you'd like to keep your Bibles there. Philippians chapter 4. And by the way, the book of Philippians is an excellent portion of Scripture if you're looking for joy in your life, because that's the theme of Philippians, how to have joy. And we've gotten into the fourth of the four chapters. And in the fourth of the four chapters, it talks about the element of how peace, I would understand, is the contrast to anxiety, how you can have peace in your life. And we're looking at how that deals with the elements of our mind. Here's how God describes it. As He's talking about, that we be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That word minds there is what we're going to be talking about, is where that conditioning data comes from. That God says that there's a way of guarding our minds, that we aren't just at the mercy of whatever stimuli goes on around us, to where it just simply throws these thoughts into our minds and we have to be stuck with it. God is saying that we have the opportunity to have that area guarded. And why is it so important to guard it? Because what goes in, old statement, garbage in, garbage out, and whatever one programs in the computer, they can pretty much count on coming out. And I've been convinced, though, that that's not true with my computer, because I know I didn't do any of those things to it. And it's doing all these crazy things. I don't understand why. But for the most part, the understanding is what programs up here is what we allow to come into it through our eye gates, our ear gates, that we allow to come in and become accessible for our mind. Another portion is found in 2 Corinthians 10:5. In the process of talking about the warfare that we have, and it's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, it says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Again, what a challenging, encouraging verse. This is one that I keep on my own little CD, my own little, I don't have as big a capacity, so I use one of these. My own little floppy disk in my head is that when things come up and I start thinking in ways I shouldn't, I run to this verse in my mind, pop it in, and let it play. And casting down imaginations and every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity, and recognizing I have not only an opportunity but a responsibility to do that. I do not have the freedom to allow my mind just to run wild with all the things that are up there and allow it to go in directions that are displeasing to God. But I need to bring them into captivity, because if I do not, then I have given Satan a foothold to be able to use those things that are up there. I honestly believe Satan doesn't have the capacity of putting things in our minds. I believe he has the capacity, though, to use the things that we've already allowed to come into our minds, and the things that he's had has accessible to in some way, form, or another, and that he utilizes them to devour us, to keep us from being effective, to cause anxiety to become such a chokehold on our lives. Another portion of Scripture says this, finally, brethren, whatever things, this is verse 8 of Philippians chapter 4, and the key passage that we're going to be looking at this week and next. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In the midst of talking about how that we can have peace in our lives, God has gone through the process of giving a list of 8 different elements of how we can focus our minds. 8 dimensions. Isn't that amazing? Multifaceted opportunities. It's not just saying, okay, quit thinking about bad things and start thinking about good things. That'd be simplistic, wouldn't it? But God gives us 8 different things that He says that we should categorize and look at our thinking and look at that disc, if you would, and say, does this CD fall in one of those 8 categories? If not, I need to eject it and put the one in there that does belong there. And the idea of that word meditate is basically a word that has kind of the roots of take an inventory. I don't know about you. Some of you folks work in places that where you have to take an inventory of things. Do you like that? No. Right. I remember when we had to take inventory, and I was responsible for all the paint. I had to go through and count all the paint. Okay, we got so many of these, and write them down, and so many of those. And I had to focus on all this stuff that was in there. How many paintbrushes did we have? How many? I had to be aware of all these things that I had walked around and just worked around, but now I had to give a whole attention to it. Now I had to focus on it. Now I not only had to look at it, I had to count it. And I had to assess it. And I had to just really think about, okay, then of course others had to deal with the inventory of now what do we do with the count that this guy has given to us? And how do we develop our process? But you look at this from the perspective of when you take inventory of your own situation, your own life. And you sit down and say, okay, here's where I want to be. Here's where I am. This is what I need to do to get there. That's not something that you just do on the sly. You have to concentrate and think and plan your life in a way that you take into consideration all the elements of it. That's the meditation concept. I've chosen to use another phrase instead of just take an inventory. I call it play disc. Okay? Where I put in the disc and I allow it to run and I allow it to go over in my mind and I focus on these particular things. And I learn that when I'm starting to think about those things that I shouldn't be thinking about, and I start to dwell upon those things, that I learn to put one of these eight items in there to help overcome that. And again, we're going to be looking at four this morning. You'll see a little bit of overlap, but I hope that they'll be helpful to you in the way in which I've broken them out to just help you to think, because any one of these can be helpful at a time of distress and anxiety if you utilize them for God's glory. The first one is true thinking. True thinking. I have the word light up. Some of you might have a different connotation to that. But light up. The reason I use the phrase light up is because when you look at the word true that is given in our text, whatsoever things are true, it's very interesting that it's used a root word that has one meaning, but it has one of those prefixes on it that means not. It's like when you talk about something that's legal, and then you put a prefix, ill, on it. Now it's illegal. And so to understand what illegal is, you have to understand what is legal. And then you know what is not legal. And so again, we have a word here that in its root, without the prefix of not, means to hide. Means to cover up. Means it's difficult to find. Examples are given in other portions of Scripture where people were, when that word of hidden is there, they didn't understand where to find it. And it was out of their reach. And as I think about the concept of truth being that which exposed that which is not found, I think of the game we used to play when we were kids, when it was all dark, and we had one person with a flashlight, and their goal was to find us with the flashlight, and the flashlight shed light on where we were hiding and exposed us for where we really were and who we really were. Yeah. And then, the light was that which uncovered that which was hidden. And I believe when we start thinking about that which is true, we first realize that the reason we need the truth is because a lot of our thoughts are in the darkness. That the dark foreboding concepts of fear and worry and anxiety are not bright areas. They're very dark. And that which we think we see out there in our minds as we're thinking about the future, they're not clear. They're fuzzy. And they become fear-causing, because we don't understand them and that we are unclear as to what it all means. And the more our thoughts go through this process, the more it spins downward into almost like going further back into a dark cave and wondering, am I ever going to get out of this thing? Am I going to continue to, It was just like that trip that I took around St. Louis. It just kept on getting darker and darker, and the only thing that really lit up was the snow that was coming down in front of my headlights, and that's always a good feeling. You know, that just mesmerizing snow and stuff. And just wondering, am I ever going to get off this road? And how wonderful it was to eventually come into an area that was well lit, and I could see what was around me and all these types of things. And so is it true that when we apply the truth of God's Word to our thinking process, He lights it up and allows us to really see things for the way they are. Not for the scary things that we imagine might be there. It breaks through the darkness of anxious, depressed thinking. So what does this light allow us to do? It allows us to meditate on God's person and ability. Usually when we are caught up in a time of anxiety and we're thinking the disc we have in there is not about how wonderful and awesome and great God is. The disc we have is about, look at these circumstances. Don't you understand how these things are going? And what we want to talk about is all these difficult things that we might be going through. And instead of looking at them from an accurate perspective, we tend to look at them from the blurry, darkened perspective that we have without God's Word lightning serving as a light force. So we meditate on the person of God and His ability. That allows us to see circumstances from a clear fashion. We see the situation more clearly. This is where facts come in. Many times when we are putting in the disc, we're putting in a disc that has the what ifs and that could be, or I think this person is thinking this, or they had this intention, or whatever it might be. When we seek to get the facts, we seek to uncover what the situation is. That's why God set it up to where when we have a conflict with another person or if we've got a situation we need to clarify, the key individual we need to talk to is the person we have the conflict with. You know, other people, they can shed a whole lot of darkness on our situation. You got a problem with someone and you need some light shed on it, so you think, I know what I'll do. I think it's all just me, so I'm going to get somebody else to give me some light for this. We go to somebody else and we reiterate all these types of things, and what they do now is, since they don't have the light, because they aren't in the process of the situation, they tend to muddle up the situation more. And so then we become even more upset, and before long, we've not only gossiped, but we've allowed the facts to become so twisted that we become more and more discouraged with the situation, instead of going and getting things cleared up. That's what thinking about that which is true will do. And of course, the third one is avoiding exaggerations. The what ifs of life. What if this happens or that happens? You know, God has given us the responsibility to think about what is going on in our life right now. He says that to make plans that we're going to go and do this and do that, and just do all these things, he says, well, you know, that's not good. You should say, if the Lord wills, that we should do that type of thing. And Matthew tells us and encourages us to just seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough worry to itself. And just focus on today and what is going on. The exaggerations of allowing things to build up and build up and build up instead of seeing them for the truth that they are. So God encourages us to put that true disc in there. The disc that will shed light on the situation so we'll know for sure what's going on. The second word is that of noble. Noble thinking. That which is honorable. Recognizing the place of honor God places on things and people. One thing that keeps us from being able to think in the proper perspective is we've gone with the way that the world wants us to think is to bring everything down to a level of dishonor, a level where we are not exalting it in the way that it should be. One thing would be the lack of respectful thinking. You know, God has placed individuals in our lives as authorities for a reason. And if we get in the attitude of thinking that we should not respect those authorities because of certain conditions we've set, that we have failed to follow His plan for our thinking, He has designed authority for a reason, because authority is a picture of how He relates to us. And He wants us to recognize this element of honor. That's why it's so important within the Ten Commandments, God says that children are to honor their parents. Why is that so important? Is that so that the parents will have life easier? Is that so that it will be, just so that things can look good and go well? No, because it's a picture of what God wants us to do for Him. It's to honor Him. And when He places authority in our lives, we need to have that tendency of respectful thinking. You can tell there's a lack of respect for thinking, for things and for people. You can see the way people are treated, there's a lack of respect. You can see the way property is treated, there's a lack of respect. And what has happened is that we have individuals whose thinking process is not based upon understanding a respect for other individuals and the property of other individuals. And as a result, we tend to then allow that disc to continue to play that, instead of lifting things up, causes them to be brought down. So it involves sober thinking and lifting up rather than bringing down. Whatsoever things are true, you're looking at a situation, you're exaggerating, you're guessing, you're worrying about what happened in the past or what's going on in the future, this is going to be a repeat, you don't know for sure, you need to get the truth, and that's where the light comes in. You've allowed things to come down to a level where it's just discouraging and there's no lifting up. Take the time to lift it up in relationship to what God's purpose might be for that particular situation. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, that which is righteous, focus upon that which is straight on for God. We should light up. We should lift up. And now I got the word line out. To line out something. To set it in the tracks and way at which is designed to be. A lot of times we allow our thinking to want to... We get pleased with ourselves because we're ones who like to color outside the lines. Okay, we like the idea of being ones that color outside the lines and use that as an example of someone who's got creativity. And it's true, it's creativity. It's also messy. The lines are there for a reason. Okay, the lines are there to help us to have some formation on how things should be. And I appreciate those who can take a picture that's already been drawn and draw some things outside of it and enhance it and make things better. But when they choose not to respect the lines that have been placed there and for the reason they're there, then they have failed to think justly. God has set up certain lines and parameters and boundaries for our lives. Now, He has given that to us so that we can use our creativity within that. And when we start getting outside of that, as the Scripture says, it says we shouldn't go to the left, shouldn't go to the left, shouldn't go to the right. We allow our paths to go straight on. God wants us within this very flexible world He's given to us, not to have a pluralistic concept of things, that God doesn't care, and that whatever you think or whatever you believe or whatever you do is fine. God has given us choice so that we can take within the parameters He's given to us what He calls righteousness and just. You know, He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. God has a plan. He has a parameter. And He has a desire for us to keep within that. And sometimes our thinking gets outside of that. And I'm not talking about creativity. I'm talking about thinking that is not willing to align itself under what God's plan is. And we have a desire to do things our own way. And we want to be rebellious and say, God, you came up with a good idea, but I think I can improve upon it. You got a wonderful picture going here, but I want to change the picture. And God wants us to learn to align ourselves underneath with our thinking and quit questioning what He's doing. Quit questioning of how He's working our life, but instead be willing to align ourselves and focus on the right thing. Second of all, thinking concerning holiness of God, that He is the Holy One. He is the Just One. And then thirdly in this process, using good discernment about sin. That there is a line here, and that the whole idea, here's one thing that gets us kind of confused in our thinking, is we usually look at it this way. We look at an edge like this right here, that God has said, this is where how far you can go. And we kind of look at, well, why can't I go any further? you know, I want to go over here. We just added a new member to our family. It's a bunny. And, you know, the bunny is also interested in finding out where she can go. You know, we kind of figure out you can go right here. You know what? She wants to go whatever is on the other side of where we've told her. Well, we didn't tell her. Showed her where she could go. And there's that instinct of wanting to stretch the neck just a little bit further, jump over, whatever, to go. And that's what we are with God. We think God has some boundaries, and we're thinking about, why is God restricting me so? Why is He making me stay right here? And we stand on a line like this. Why is God making me here? Why can't He let me go over here? Now, if I preach my whole sermon here on this one little piece of line right here, because I want to go that way, some of you might say, well, Scott, why don't you just walk this way? You got all this room clear over here to walk. Why don't you walk over here? And this is the way God is. God has given us such a wonderful, wide realm of how we can please Him. And we want to get on the edges and think, well, why can't I do this? Or why can't I do that? And that frustrates us and causes discouragement. When situations come into our lives, we're thinking, well, why is God doing this? Why? It's like Eve in the garden. Why can't I eat of this tree? It's a nice tree. It looks good. And it's all the focus is on that one tree. There's probably a million other trees in that garden. But for some reason, this is so interesting. And that's the way we get to be. And we think, well, God's unfair. He won't let me eat of the tree. How can He be that way? He won't let me go over the line. How could it be this way? He won't let me do this. He won't give me what I want. He won't do this and that. He is just not a good God. God says, think justly. Use discernment. Recognize that there are lines that are set up so that we can have the privilege of being able to paint the beautiful picture of our life within those parameters and move all around. But if we spend all our time over in that corner that we want to get out of, all we've got is this to work with. And our hearts then become so constricted, and we become so discouraged, thinking God is so narrow, when God has such a big plan for us. And all we have to do is allow our thinking to be just, to be righteous, to be aligned up under God. The final one we'll look at today is pure thinking. For sake of an L, I use the word launder. We don't use that a whole lot today, but it is found in the dictionary. And it launders to clean out. If you have the laundry, and to clean our minds. And for many of us, this is a very important part of our thinking process, because things over the years have gotten up into here that just continually to provide it's just kind of like a room. You ever have one of those rooms that old wet towels somehow got stuck on the bottom of a pile of something, and things got, you know, kind of pushed underneath the bed, and things, you know, pieces of food kind of fell down and are just all in their process of decomposition and all that kind of stuff. And you got all these things in there, and I'm not talking about anybody's bedroom in particular now, but you got one of these situations where things have just become cluttered because of things that are there, and it needs to be cleaned out. It needs to be changed. I remember years ago when we were in gym class, man, we wear the same gym clothes every day. Just throw them back in the locker, man. Put those things on. It's like, oh, yeah. They'll be okay once I sweat. You know, and just throw them back in there. And you just open that thing. It's like, whoa. You know? I was glad when the semester got over so we can take them home and start anew. But just the idea of... just the idea of being able to clean out our mind, because there's things like that up here. And there's old gym socks that we keep up there for what reason, I don't know. But they're there, and they're right on our CD. It's good. Okay, operate gym socks, bring them out, and we'll think about all these dirty things, these stench things that just continue to cause smell. And God says, whatsoever things are pure, chaste, modest, clean, and sacred. And the type of thoughts we need to have are modest, I think both in humble, modest, and also moral, modest thoughts, that we might keep those thinkings in a way that keep us from getting out of sorts and thinking on those things that are not pure and clean. Replacing crude thoughts with clean ones. Sometimes we have so many things, and I know we've joked about this a little bit, but there's some that are wrestling seriously with things that they've allowed to come into their minds. That within certain situations, those things will come up, and thoughts that they really wish they could erase are still being played. And God has said, think on those things that are pure. And God has given to us new discs that we can put in that talk about how pure God is and the things that we should be thinking of. And we should replace those crude thoughts with clean ones. And then, of course, remove the stench of the rotting. And I just, not only is that in the issue of immoral thoughts, but that's those thoughts of bitter thoughts, too. You know, bitter things that sit in there and rot. That thing that happened back in 1973, you know, the thing's dead. It's been dead for 30 years. Bury it. Don't keep on pulling it back up to think about it and allow to mull over it or whatever. Because it's not a pure thing. It's not a clean thing. God has set up, God has given us everything we need, that if there's an offense in the past, if there's a situation in the past, He has lined out for us how we can take and launder and purify those things. He has a plan, and if we still have a stench in our life, it's because we've chosen not to use the laundry method God has given to us. Whether it's within a relationship with another person or it's within our own heart, God has given us these opportunities. And if we choose not to let go of those things and to clean them from our life so we can deal with life with a nice, fresh, clean, just out of the dryer or off the clothesline if you prefer, kind of smell, the way things should be in our hearts and minds. That's what He desires. He doesn't want us to live through all the stench of our past. He wants us to take those things and to push them out. And as soon as they start coming up and you can smell it, get the old spray out. And then quickly get the disc out that talks about the purity and the cleanness of what God is and focusing on these various things. Four things. Have a disc that sheds light. Whatsoever is true. You're focusing on the truth. Don't get caught up in what if, exaggerations, worrying about what could happen. Focus on what is happening. Focus on the things you can control, not on the things you can't control. Lift up. Don't allow our thoughts to continue to be laid down in a fashion that doesn't have that honor and respect God has designed. Another way God has said it in Colossians, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Continue to honor and respect. Honor and respect for others. Honor and respect for your own body. Having those thoughts. Third, line out. Line out. Making sure you're staying within the parameters of God, willing to just enjoy what He's given to you. He's given to you a whole portion of life with some guidelines so that you can be pleasing to Him. Don't think about what He doesn't want you to do. Think about all the things that please Him. And then finally, clean the mind. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wants us to have clean minds. He wants us to have minds that have been cleansed from those things of the past so we can continue to focus on the present so that we can have a better future. If God is really working in your heart, your mind right now, that you're saying, I want to have this. I want to have the ability to turn my heart over to God, to be able to bring those thoughts into obedience to Christ, to be able to have victory over these things, then I want to encourage you to make the step today. First of all, if you have not trusted Jesus as your Savior, ask Him to be your Savior. When you ask Him to be your Savior, He pays the penalty of your sin. And when He does, He said that when He does that, He will bring within us the Holy Spirit that helps us work to clean us from the inside out and to help guide us from the inside out. So that would be the first step. And the second would be to make sure we develop a pattern. If you'll notice, Philippians 4:8 is not just a verse that you hear on a Sunday morning and then you go and say, make it work. It's a discipline of deciding when things come up. You will not see victory in this area until you continue to pull out the old CD, put in the new CD. It is a process that the more you play the correct CD instead of the bad CD, the more victory you'll have. It's a process of continually turning that over to God with His help. And so I encourage you, start making a step. Pick one of the four. Pick one of the four and say, I'm going to do this week. Every time my thoughts go down the wrong path, and you know where they go, you're going to pull out that CD. You're going to pull out the CD that talks about how I should think, whether it's true, whether it's just, whether it's noble, whether it's pure. You're going to think on that thing. And you're going to find a way of pushing the other thoughts out. I challenge you to do that this week. Father, I thank you again for the privilege of being able to just share your word. Lord, I ask that it would have been helpful to those that are here. If they get anything, that they'll go away with this thought, that they can indeed control their thoughts, that they can indeed resign their thoughts to you, and that they can have victory by choosing what they think on, by a victory by removing the thoughts that they have allowed to stay there for so long. Help them, Father, to understand that concept and then slowly build in these other things that we've talked about. Father, again, we thank you for the privilege of your word and ask for your blessing upon us this day, that we might be your instruments. And help us to think right. Help us to think in a way that pleases you. We pray in Jesus' precious name.